Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Apostle Etta Banks, and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And, of course, I have with me my beautiful, beloved friend, co-host, daughter, confidant. Oh, my gosh. There's so many things I can say about this woman of God. But I guess the most important thing is the fact that she is a woman of God. And so that just covers a gambit of a whole lot of things. So anyway, good morning to my beloved co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
Good morning, beautiful Apostle Banks. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. Trust me, I am.
Amen. Now, can you hear me well? Because I'm on my speaker, and sometimes it goes in and out.
Right now, we hear you clear. Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm supposed to say something, huh? I was waiting for you. Oh, see, y'all, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. There may be a few faux-pas, if that's the correct word today. There just might be. I am truly exhausted. I went to the homegoing service, a celebration of one of my dearest friend, and someone, a man of God, someone that we loved and trusted, and just whatever. He was family. He was family to us. He was family. So he was my son. He was a spiritual son. And we went to the service yesterday, and the wake was from 3 till 5, 3 in the afternoon till 5 p.m. That was the viewing. The viewing was 3 to 5. The wake was 5 to 6. The funeral started at 6. We didn't get out of the funeral until probably 10:30-ish, and then we had the repast right there in the church. And so I got home like 12:30. I got home around 12:30. And I had my emotional bout, you know, with the death of my friend and son. And so getting home at 12:30, it being a very emotional day, you know, from Jump Street in the morning, it was so emotional. And then to go through the night, you know, I just had a very emotional time. And, well, praise God. I am here today, and I'm very, very grateful of that. I am so, so grateful of that. And bless the Lord. However, like I said, my words might get mixed up or something because I am exhausted. I am exhausted. But to God be all the glory. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I do mean that. I shall rejoice after I wake up again. After I wake up again, I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Speaking of rejoicing, good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless you, my darling. God bless you. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Love you much. Joyce in New York, God bless you, woman of God. God bless you. To Prophetess Kim, Anita, to Deacon Banks, to Rob in Pennsylvania, to Isaiah in Chicago, to Isaiah in Pennsylvania as well. Welcome. Welcome to Prophetess Dawn. Welcome to, my goodness.
Deacon Fox.
Okay.
Thank you, darling. Thank you so much. Welcome to Deacon Farr. Welcome. God bless you. And you know, of course, whenever we mention his name, we always have to mention the blog talk radio show that he has, which is Issues, Christian Men Talk. And I cannot, look, next to this show here, I cannot think of another show that to me is important as for my audience to listen to. I really can't. And I mean that, thanks to God, with all my heart. I mean that with all my heart. We as, speaking of Christians, we as Christians, we have been blessed, you know, by the Holy Spirit, blessed by what Jesus did for us on the cross. Praise be unto God. We've been blessed because God loves us so much, you know, that he made a way for us. Jesus, ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus made a way of escape for us when it comes to temptation, when it comes to anything that we're dealing with on life. Jesus has already made a way for those things to be handled. He's made a way for us to walk in the victory of those things. He made a way. He made a way. And I'm telling you, saints of God, we choose, and hear me when I say this, we choose not to walk in the way that Christ has made the way for us to walk. He has made our crooked path straight. He has made it so that we can be in peace 24/7. He made a way for that. The word says, those who keep their minds stayed on me, that they should be in perfect peace. Perfect peace. We have to keep our minds stayed on Christ. Okay, I said all that getting to. With all of that being said, we as Christians, still, we have a bunch of issues. We have a bunch of issues. And the reason why we have those issues is because we're not following the path that Christ made available to us. We're not walking in the victory that he made available to us. It's almost like we're ignorant to the fact of what Christ has done for us. So we're going through all of these terrible things and so forth, when if we read the word, studied the word, held godly patience, got godly counsel, and all of that stuff, man, oh man, life would be so much easier. Life would be so much easier. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. So, Issues, Christian Men Talk. It is awesome to hear the things that we acknowledge, that they acknowledge in life, and what they talk about, what these men, these godly men, are talking about. There are issues out there, beloved. Christian men are talking about them. Okay, so Issues, Christian Men Talk. All righty, so God bless Deacon Thomas Farr. All right, so I just, again, encourage all of you, you know, again, to listen to his show. Of course, I suggest more than ever that you always, every Saturday, starting on Friday, if not before, bring somebody to the show. Bring someone to the show. I know I got a text last week where one of our callers, one of our regulars that I mention all the time, said, you know, I told two of my friends to join in this morning, you know, and you know, and I'm not sure if they joined in or not. But the point was, she was so excited about the fact, look, I got two people that should be calling in today. Saints of God, to me, I feel like just the way, once we get saved, I said I wasn't going to tell anybody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. Listen, the fact that you come back here every week, you must be getting something out of this, or you just got nothing better to do Saturday morning at 9 a.m., okay? So which is it? Are you getting something, or you got nothing better to do, so you just decide to call into this show? I don't know. But whatever it is, please, 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 tell your friends, tell your neighbors, send out an email blast, send out a text this show known more and more and more, because this is truly heart to heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. With all of that being said, I'm going to turn it over into the hands of Minister Tabika, and I'm going to ask you, beloved, if you would greet whomever you might, and would you please go ahead and lead us in prayer?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Well, good morning again, Heart to Heart family. We're so excited and happy and joyful and ecstatic that you joined us again this Saturday, and know that we love and appreciate you. And thank you for every time you decide that you want to join. You might still be laying in your bed. You just rolled over, grabbed your phone, and dialed in. That's good, too. You might be on the road somewhere having something to take care of, but you still decided to dial in, and we appreciate you. We also want to give glory to God because this is his show. This is his platform. And so we want to just say thank you to him for, you know, choosing Apostle and then him nudging Apostle's heart, and she chose me to join. So I am forever grateful. I am forever grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord God. We lift you up, Lord God. We praise your name, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is none like you, Lord God. We just give you praise and honor, for there is none like you, Lord God. Lord, we just say thank you, Father, because you made a way, Lord God. You made a way. You made a way, Lord God. When our backs were against the wall, Lord God, you made a way, Lord God. When we were facing a giant, Lord God, you made a way. When the situation seemed like it was going to consume us, oh, Father, you made a way. When our relationship, our marriage looked like it wasn't going to make it, Lord God, you made a way, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord God, when our children didn't want to have a relationship or anything to do with us, or vice versa, or we didn't want to have anything to do with our children, Lord God, you made a way, Lord God, you made a way. And Father God, we just give you praise because you always make a way, Lord God. You touch our hearts in a way that no person could ever do. And oh God, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord God, for all that you are doing in this season, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for just who you are, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord God. Just thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for your joy, your peace, your love, your happiness, your patience, your faithfulness. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you love us the way that you love us. Oh, how you love us, oh God. Nothing that we can do can change your mind about us, because, Lord, you created us in your image, oh God. We were on your mind before we were even born. Hallelujah, Lord God. And Father, you created us with the mind of Christ, Lord, so we can do great things. Hallelujah. We can do great things in your name, oh God. We can do great things, Father. Hallelujah, oh God. If only we just believe, Lord. If only we just believe. Hallelujah, oh Lord God. I just thank you, Father God, Lord, that you are with us every step of the way. Hallelujah. Lord God, that our names, oh God, our names are engraved in the palm of your hand, Father. And Lord God, I just, Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew, thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
God.
You, Lord.
When I just think about that, when I think about our names being engraved in the palms of your hand, and Lord God, when sometimes we feel nobody else cares, God. When you look down at your hand, Lord God, you see my name. You see Apostle's name. Yeah. You see everybody's name that is on this show. And those that will come and come back to listen, that our names are right there. So you can never forget about us. And as I'm saying that, I'm looking at the palms of my hands, and I'm looking like, how many names could really fit in the palms of my hands? But your hands are bigger. Your hands are bigger. Your hands are big enough to fit every name there is, even the ones that aren't even born yet. And so, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for the beauty of who you are. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for the love, your love, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it. Thank you, Father God, for how you grab hold of us and you hug us and you pull us close. And thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, that when we cry out to you, Lord God, you hear us. You come to see what's going on with us, even though you already know. But, Lord God, I just give you praise because there is none like you, and I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for just everything I thank you for, Lord, even when the times when we didn't understand what was going on, the times when we stopped believing, the times when we just wanted to turn away from you because we just felt like you weren't doing anything about our situation. Lord God, thank you for not turning your back on us. Thank you, Lord God, for continuing, Lord God, to draw us and not never letting us go, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the true word, Lord God, the beauty of who you are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, that you don't treat us the way we treat each other, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, creating us a clean heart, Lord God. God, just come in and just clean our hearts out, Lord God. Just like when we don't take care of our cars, we don't get oil changes, you know, our engine can get clogged up with a bunch of stuff, Lord God, and it needs to be flushed. Lord, I'm asking, Lord, that you flush our hearts right now, Lord God, that you will flush, Lord God, all the hurt, the pain, the anger, the offense, Lord God. Lord God, when somebody hurt our feelings, Lord God, God, all those things that we sometimes let build up, Lord God, flush our hearts, Father God, flush our hearts, Lord God, so we can love like you love, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, Lord God. And, Lord, I pray, Lord God, for Apostle Banks, Lord God, I pray for her strength, Lord, because you know and see that she's exhausted, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you deposit your strength within her right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And, God, I pray that even when this show ends, Lord God, that she won't get any phone calls, that she's able to go and lay back down and get some rest in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I thank you, oh, God, for her heart to serve, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, for her heart to love. I thank you, Lord God, for her heart to encourage in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for her heart to give. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the woman of God that we are all connected to, and however we are connected to her. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for making a way. Thank you for making a way. And, Lord, we love you. We bless you. We honor you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Yes, thanks to God. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I am so grateful, like I tell you. When I introduce her, you know, I'm grateful. Who wouldn't want to have a confidant like that to pray for you, you know? And I just praise God. I praise God. All right, beloved. All righty. There's only one thing I want to say to you from dealing with yesterday at the homegoing service. There was one point that stood out to me that truly, truly helps to fortify some of my beliefs. And It gave me strength. It encouraged me to keep going on and trusting and believing in God, to keep going on and trusting and believing in God. Dr. Joel Ramazar, that's the young man that passed away. He was 59. And he, you know, they had shared how he wasn't feeling well the day before he passed away. He wasn't feeling well, had a fever, et cetera, et cetera. They called the ambulance. The ambulance came, and they took his vital signs and all of that, and the vital signs were okay. So he didn't go to the hospital at that point, and that was on a Friday afternoon. Well, Friday evening, he got worse. They took him to the hospital, and they had called Pastor Sewell. She's my pastor. Before I became a pastor, she was my pastor, and they called her and told her, you know, that he had flatlined or whatever it was on the way to the hospital, but they were able to revive him. And so she said, okay, and, you know, but she would be on her way down to the hospital. Well, by the time she got there, and this was like 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that, by the time she got there, they had to induce a coma. So he had all these tubes in him and so forth and so on. And they induced the coma. He had flatlined again, and they said that they weren't sure that he would come back from it this time. And as life would have it, he did pass away. Okay, so he passed on. So Elder Jason Woodford, who, again, he's one of the sons from that church as well. And Elder Woodford also was one that took this demise very, 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 very hard, because he has known JoJo, is what we called him. He's known JoJo since he was a young, young boy, you know, just a few years old. And he was praying yesterday morning. He was praying. And as he was praying, he said a rush of wind came through the room, and he heard JoJo's voice. And Elder Jason, his nickname is Jake, and he said he heard this voice, and it was Dr. Ramazar's voice, JoJo's voice. And JoJo said to him, and JoJo's from Trinidad, so I'm going to try to say it with a little accent similar to his, but he says, Jake, heaven was worth it. No, is worth it. Heaven is worth it. And Jake said when he heard that, that gave him a spirit of peace. He knew that JoJo was okay. In fact, we knew he was okay because we know he's saved, you know, and that he had gone to heaven. But to know that JoJo was really okay, and he said heaven was worth it. And I'm telling you, when he said that, that thing went through me. It went through me. Saints of God, there are decisions that we are making in life every day, and this is going to lead us even into what we're going to talk about. There are decisions that we're making every single day. The good, the bad, and the ugly. The yay and the amen. The nay and get away. All kinds of decisions that we are making every single day. And some of us struggle trying to live holy. There's temptation out here before us on every side. That there's something. We're tempted by Satan. We're tempted by our friends. We're tempted by our family members. We're tempted by food. We're tempted by sex. We're tempted by money, by power, everything that we can think of that could tempt us. Whatever it is your flesh longs for, whatever it is your eye latches onto and you can't seem to let go, the lust of it, the pride that we have. Saints of God, there's so much that we are tempted by. But when we know the word of God and we measure up, we measure ourselves. Forget about everybody else for right now, baby. I'm talking about your own self. You measure yourself up against the word of God, and you try to, God, do I measure up, Father? Do I measure up? Am I worthy of the call that is on my life? Do I measure up? When we do that and we miss out on a lot of things when you're doing your very best to live holy, you miss out on a lot of things that in our previous life we called fun. It was fun. Oh, God, yes. This is great. This is fun. I go where I want to go. I do what I want to do. I see who I want to see. I can drink. I can cuss. I can fornicate. I can tell lies. I can steal. You know, you did whatever it was you wanted to do. But then you gave your life to Jesus. You gave your life to Jesus. And believe it or not, while you were doing all of those things, you may not have thought they were all as much fun as Satan would have you think they are once you got saved and once you tried to live holy. And he's saying, man, you got to give up this and give up that and give up that. And then all of a sudden, all that stuff becomes very attractive to you. And you're like, man, I don't want to give that up. Man, no, no. I had fun when I was doing it. But yet while you were doing it, you really weren't having that much fun. But it looks better than living holy. And to hear JoJo, and see, it's because I knew JoJo, and I knew the struggles and the challenges this man of God had. I knew. Thanks to God, I'm telling you, for him, you know, we had prayed him through struggles, challenges, and this man had a heart for the people. Oh my God, this baby, Trinidad, India, Pakistan, Canada, United States. Oh my God, I can't think of, you know, the other places my son went, but all of these different places ministering the word of God and so forth and so on. But he had his challenges. He had the things that tempted him and so forth and so on. And he gets to heaven and says, was worth it. Heaven was worth it. So I say that to you this morning, beloved. Those of you that are making decisions to change something in your life and you're afraid that you've given up something that has been so important to you for so long, but you've given it up because somewhere along the line you realize it's the right thing to do. It's the God thing to do. It's the God thing to do. When you do that, the reward is greater than any quote-unquote loss that we may experience. Change is not always easy. It is not always comfortable, but it is necessary. It is necessary. So, my love, as you make the decision to live a holy life, trust me, according to my son and my brother in Christ, heaven is worth it. And let me put this disclaimer on life out here. because you live a holy life, God life, a life of righteousness, does not mean you cannot have fun. You can have fun, you can laugh, you can joke, you can still go bowling and horseback riding and line dancing and so forth and so on. There's so much you can do and have fun. The thing is now you're aware that Christ is there with you. Holy Spirit is there with you. So let us all have fun together. Have fun together. And then you'll be doing it with the right attitude and the right mind. So what we're going to talk about, and we have taken up a half hour of our time already and haven't even gotten on the subject. So I can assure you, we will be back next week with more of this. This is definitely a two-weeker, if not a three-weeker. Maybe. It may be. It depends on how much we discuss on it as we go along. So what we're dealing with today is, and I don't know whether you want to pronounce it, Gigo. I don't know which one you want to pronounce it, but the letters are G-I-G-O, Gigo. And if it G-I-G-I is G-G, so could it be Gigo? I don't know which way you want to pronounce it, but it stands for garbage in, garbage out. That's what it stands for. G-I, garbage in, G-O, garbage out. So this is exactly what it is when it comes to our thought process. Our thought process. When you're dealing with, first of all, a computer, you put the right stuff in the computer will pull the right stuff out for you. If you put in wrong data, you're going to get mixed up wrong answers. That can't help it because it can only put out what has been put in. And that's the same thing that it is with our human mind, with the human mind. You put garbage in the mind, garbage is coming out of the mind. You put good stuff in the mind, good stuff is coming out of the mind. It is statistics proven that we have a minimum of 10,000 thoughts a day. That freaked me out. I could not even look at that, think about the fact that I have 10,000 thoughts a day, but that's what the article says. We have 10,000 thoughts a day. And already this morning, you know, we've had several thousand thoughts already since we got out of the bed. But just think about in those 10,000 thoughts, they represent choices that we've made or are making and a decision to think about to do this or not to do this. So let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question. If someone gave you $10,000 this morning and told you to spend it any way you would like, as long as you spent it all before you go to bed tonight, what would you do? You probably would be very careful about how you spend that money. You would sit down, you would take an inventory of what you could do with the money, who you can bless, what you can bless yourself with. You know, you may decide if you're going to pay tithes on it. You know, I had to stick that one in there. Whatever the case may be, but you would take some time and give that some serious thought. Man, I've got 10 grand here. Got to get it spent before midnight tonight. What am I going to do? How sad is it that we could devote so much time on the how to spend the money and so little time on how we spend our thoughts? How sad that one seems to be important and the other is trivial. Let's see, what's his name? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, beware of what you set your mind on, because that you surely will become. Beware of what you set your mind on, because that you surely will become. Norman Vincent Peale said, change your thoughts and you change the world. You change the world. Let's see here. Betty, can't say her last name, Shelley, two thoughts cannot occupy the mind at the same time. So the choice is yours whether or not our thoughts will be constructive or destructive. Two thoughts cannot occupy the mind at the same time. And here today, I'm saying to you that the choice is yours. God has given you 10,000 thoughts for today, but it's up to you what you do with it. How is your thought life? What is it that you're spending your time thinking about? What is coming out of that thing? What is coming out of it? It's so vitally important. All righty. There are four kinds of negative thinking. And when we look at this, so many people are struggling with the negative thoughts. Negative thoughts poison our minds, and ultimately they poison the soul. And here are four common examples of negative thinking. Four common examples of negative thinking. The first one is self-pity. We fall into this trap sooner or later. Life is hard for all of us. And as the saying goes, into each life, a little rain must fall. It's easy to think that somehow we've been dealt an unfair hand, that while our neighbor is basking in the sunshine, we're living in perpetual downpour. This self-pity person says, you don't know what I'm going through. You try living with this 24 hours a day and see how happy you are. Negative thinking. Don't worry, we're gonna get you over this hump. We're going to get you over this hump. Beloved, you go ahead, darling, and do the next one. Go ahead.
Amen. So the next one is blaming, and this is the other extreme. And we know and see this every day, everywhere. And blaming is an attempt to find a scapegoat for your problems because you can't face life. So what do? You find another person, another person, a situation, whatever, that seems to be the source of your problems. The key word is your problems. That's the two key words. It might be your husband or your wife. It could be your children or your neighbors. Your parents. It often is a friend, a neighbor, or your boss, or someone at church. So blaming is dangerous because it leads to perpetual victimhood. And so we see this a lot when somebody has an issue and they don't know how to deal with their issues or they don't want to deal with their issues, they blame situations on everybody else. Well, it's Anne's fault because if she didn't say A, B, and C, I wouldn't have smacked her. It's John's fault because if he would have done what I told him to do, we wouldn't have this issue. But the thing with blaming is, when situations arise, if you're always in that situation, if you're the person that's always in that situation with somebody else, you need to ask yourself, is it me? You need to step back and look and say, think about that. If you're constantly in confrontation or disagreement, whatever it may be, if you're the constant in it, and it's always you and somebody else, you need to think about that. Like, you need to step back and look and say, okay, I'm always in situations with people, and it seems to be negative. So, Lord, is it something about me that's causing this? Show me, Lord. Show me how I can, help this situation and cause the conflict and friction to stop. But again, many people don't really pay attention to themselves because they can only see what somebody else is doing. They can only pay attention to somebody else's actions, so they don't see themselves in the situation at that time. And so when you continue to do that, then that victim spirit arises. Like you feel like everybody's always picking on you or something like that. Like that victim spirit comes about because you're constantly blaming others, but never taking accountability for what you say or do that may have contributed to that situation. And so after a while, because it's like you're always in it, then a victim spirit arises, and then you become that person that it's like everybody always messes with me, everybody always treats me bad, everybody always does this and that to me. And so you have to be very careful of blaming and just take responsibility for your own actions, your words, because we have to remember words have power. And I think sometimes we forget that. It may not even be, your body language at that moment. It could be your words. Something that you said really, really, really killed somebody else's spirit. And you're just thinking that, I said what I said, and you said what you said because you're angry or whatever. But we have to be careful because the things that we say to people can really, really hurt them. And I know for me, I never want to be on the end where I've said something that really, really hurt somebody, that caused them to slip into depression or whatever. So, just take account for your actions. Apostle.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing was, and remember now, we're dealing with four kinds of negative thinking. So the next thing was unwillingness to change. Unwillingness to change. Now, you heard the first one was self-pity. The second one was blaming. And these two categories cause us to come into this third one, that once you got yourself into the whole self-pity thing and you discover the fact that you are a victim, the logical conclusion is that you can't or you won't change. You know, I can't change. Or I'm not going to change. I don't want to change. And unfortunately, this negative thinking forced itself. So since you're looking at the fact that you can't change, so then therefore your behavior can't be your fault. Which, if it's not your fault, what did you do? You blame somebody. See, it takes you right back to that second one. You're blaming somebody else for your decisions, for your actions. It's always somebody else's fault. You never had to face it honestly, you know. So this lack of the willingness to change, this person will say, there's no use in trying. I will never change. I have every right to be hurt. I've got every right to be this way. I'm not going to give it up. I'm not going to give them up. I'm not going to do that. I know it's wrong, but I'm not going to stop. Or this is one of my favorite ones, God made me this way, so it's not my fault. How many times have I heard that when I'm counseling with folks and I'm trying to point out to them that, look, thanks to God, not according to the gospel of Etta Banks. No. According to the gospel of Christ Jesus, according to the good news, darling, what you're doing is not correct, is not right. That's what you're doing. And what do they say? God made me this way. You know, some of your ways, God made you that way. Even if you use what God made you like, if you use that in the wrong manner, God did not make you to use those good qualities and use it in a negative manner or an immoral manner. No, he didn't. He gave you every gift, every beautiful attribute that you have, the things that make you a attractive to others, the things that attract you to others, God gave you that to glorify him, not puff yourself up, not puff up everybody else, not do it so that you will feel good. You do the things that God, you use the gift that God has given you to glorify him, him and him alone. So therefore, this is not about you doing you. But I'm unwilling to change. I am unwilling to change. And again, since you can't change, none of this behavior is your fault. You know, you can't blame me for it. My mama did this to me. My daddy did this to me. He wasn't there. My teacher did this to me. My wife did this to me. My siblings did this. Come on, saints of God. If you do exactly as my sister and my daughter here said, look in the mirror. Take that introspection look in the mirror and say, God, me. I can't change anybody else. But Father, let me see me, and you help me to change to be the way you see me. You see me. Look. Let me say this one thing, and then she can go on to the next one. Let me say this. We have the tendency, when we are looking ourselves in the mirror for the first time, and, you know, when you just take that glance, hey, I look pretty good. It's all right. But then when you stand there and you really look, a hair may be out of place. One eyebrow may be higher than the other. You know, my smile is a little crooked. Oh, my gosh, I see some wrinkles here around my eyes. My jaw, you know, is beginning to droop, whatever the case may be. My clothes aren't fitting me exactly the way I thought they did when I put them on. But as I take a closer look and so forth, boy, I don't look as good as I thought I did. However, I saw Susan yesterday, man, and she looked like heck. Man, she was messed up, blah, 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 blah. So compared to what she looked like, I'm looking pretty good. All right, saints, what did we just do? We looked at ourselves, but then we compared ourselves to somebody that was worse off than we were, which makes us feel good about us in our own stinking, dirty, rotten situation. Somebody may be fornicating, and you know what they say? Well, at least I'm not committing murder. I'm not out here killing nobody. I'm not out here doing drugs. But you're fornicating.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that. We compare ourselves to things we consider to be worse than what we are so that we can feel good about what we're doing. Saints of God, there's only one standard that we should be comparing ourselves to and trying to live up to it, and that is the standard that God sets for us. That's it. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Okay, what is it? I can't think of something. I told a lie, but it's only a little white lie. It's not hurting anybody. I told a lie. Doesn't the word tell us that we shouldn't lie? Doesn't matter if it's a white lie, black lie, green, yellow, whatever lie it is. It's a lie. The Bible tells us we shouldn't do it. Okay?
Right.
You know, I what's the word? Let me use something that I do. I overeat. You know, when I sit down and make a plate, instead of me putting just enough, you know, for one serving, I got two servings of food on my plate. That's gluttony. And I may say, you know, look, I'm not hurting anybody. It's just food. And anyway, when I sit down with whomever, and they get twice as much food as I get, at least I leave some for somebody else. They love it. I'm not stopped. Okay? It's gluttony. Face the fact. Are we willing to change? But our negative thinking makes us unwilling to change. Go ahead, beloved. Bring us the last one on this.
Yes, ma'am. And just really quick, want to say that we are sharing this article from Keep Believing Ministries,
yes,
by Ray.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to throw that out there. The
yes,
last one is anger and bitterness. Anger and bitterness, okay? So this is usually the logical outcome. Because once you begin to pity yourself, you become the victim. And then what is that? When you become a victim, we tell ourselves that victims can't be blamed. So therefore, you refuse to face the possibility that you yourself are the source of your own problems. You know, who wants to agree to that? Who wants to put their hand up and say, yes, that's me? So when others suggest otherwise, you get angry, defensive, and bitter. You don't want to have nothing to do with that person or group of people anymore. But you remember every miserable thing ever done to you or against you. You stew in your juices over the slightest negative remark made by others. You bristle at any notion that your life could be different. You hold grudges even though you say you don't. You glare,
mm-hmm,
and turn your when you see your enemy coming toward you. You shut them out cold. Your thoughts,
yes,
matter. Negative thinking leads to negative living. And let's be honest, how many of you, let's be honest, you know, we can't see you in your home, we can't see you raising your hand, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but how many of us have seen somebody walking towards us that we don't particularly care for, and we turn the other way? we turn the other way. Like, oh, don't come over here. Ooh, don't, please don't come over here. We've done that. In whatever capacity, I mean, I'll put myself out there. I've done that before because it's like I don't want to talk to this person. I don't want to be in the company of this person. You know, whatever it is, whatever little confrontation, and listen, sometimes it's confrontation every time you get in the mix of this particular person, because I know for me, I don't like to be around negative people and people who always have something negative to say. It just, it makes me, you know, it's like, uh-oh, what negative thing are they going to say today? And so it's like you're embracing yourself. You're embracing yourself for this negative comment that this person is going to make, because every time you're in their presence, they make a negative comment. But guess what? Sometimes we sit there and we listen to those negative things. Sometimes we sit there and we don't tell the person, like, listen, I don't want to hear that. I mean, I know it's easy to say it. It's easy to say, listen, you know, I'm not sure why your thoughts are always negative or where it comes from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But at any day, if you're available, I'm available to help you through whatever it is you're going through. You know, try to help the person. Try to, because sometimes they don't even know where the negative thoughts come from. So
mm-hmm,
you know, and again, you can say, listen, I don't want to hear any negativity today. And you can say it just like that. And the person probably, again, may get angry, defensive, whatever, but you said it in a tone that, or in a way where they couldn't help but just not say anything and walk away. So
mm-hmm.
they can't say for both them, because you just said it very politely like that. Like, listen, I don't want to hear any negative comments today or any negative thoughts, just like that. And they don't have any, the only choice they have is to walk away or say okay and stop talking. But at least they know that they can't come to you with that. Amen? So,
amen.
So our anger and bitterness can turn our hearts cold. It can turn our hearts black. So, you know, it's very good not to allow those things to fester. Don't let them fester in your heart, because it does turn to negativity, negative thinking. Every day, as soon as you wake up, you're thinking of something negative. No, that's not of God. Be set free from that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. In that, and using the example that you use as far as you being around somebody that's negative every time you're around them, in this thought process here that we have here, and going to the anger and bitterness. So you're around somebody that's saying negative things, you know, constantly. And instead of handling it the way that Minister Tabika suggested, you know, and saying, you know, when you see or hear it coming up, you know, you say, you know, can we not talk about that? I don't want to have, you know, speak about negative things. Because of nine times if they're saying something negative, it's dealing with you, okay? This is where the anger and the bitterness comes in. You know, they're telling you stuff that you don't want to hear. It's dealing with you. And what happens is just like we said with that, it starts off. Instead of approaching it in the manner that she's suggesting that you approach it, you say that you are the victim, you're being picked on, you're adamant that you're not going to change. I want to take you back through these, that you're not going to change. You are going to blame somebody else and so forth, and you have anger and bitterness. And now instead of you being able to say to the person, look, can we not, you know, talk about that? I don't want to deal with, you know, any negative things. Now you lash out. You become the aggressor, you become defensive, and you start fighting. And then you start fighting, then the other person wants to defend themselves. And then they are, and so the battle goes on. So as you can see from going through those four things, one step led to another step led to another step, and you cover all four of those things. And you can cover all four of those things in one moment. One moment, do you hear me? One moment, one conversation, you can cover all four of those steps in one conversation. All four of them can be covered. The self-pity, blaming somebody, unwillingness to change, and anger and bitterness. We take it all and wrap it up into one conversation. Beloved, and that is, look, what I said, we have 10,000 thoughts. One conversation dealing with one thought, one choice, one decision, and all of this comes out of it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Thanks to God. Power, power, power. Let me tell you. Listen, our time is up for today. I know that you don't want me to leave you here at this right here. But look, come back next week. And we're going to deal with the benefits of positive thinking. The benefits of positive thinking. I'll tell you, because I know everybody that I see on this line, the numbers that I know that are on this line, all of us are born-again Christians that I see in my studio room. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or of good rapport or praiseworthy, think on these things. Think on these things. We just shared with you four negative thinking patterns, four negative thinking patterns. Your thoughts matter. Negative thinking leads to negative living. Next week, we're going to share with you that verse, and we're going to walk through each one of them, the benefits of the positive thinking. Christ gave us what it was that we ought to be thinking about. He gave it to us. He gave it to us. Listen, saints, he gave it to us. So we are going to do that next week. I don't want to leave you with a problem without a solution. Don't want to do that. So be back next week, and let's tackle this now. Beloved, it has been a pleasure being with you again today. Thank you. God bless you. To all of you that are on this line, thank you, and God bless you for you being with us. And truly, again, publicly, I want to thank every one of you that were on the show last week and shared in our conversation with my daughter, Danielle. And I think the topic was Help Me. I forgot the name of the show, but it was dealing with mental disorder and, you know, and her son. And so I want to thank y'all for that. Also, those of you that made contributions, again, to the Daniel Project, thank you so very much. We really, really appreciate it, because we had got down to the bare minimum at one point, and so we appreciate everything that came in. So to God be the glory, to God be the glory. Again, you are getting to the heart of the matter. And that's why I love you so much. Yes, I do. I love you so much. All right, I'm getting silly. It's time for me to go to bed. Time for me to go to bed. I tell you. So, beloved, look, you know what I like to tell you. Know that I love you with all my heart, but no matter how much I love you, you know that God loves you more, and he really does. Take care. Meet us back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and bring a friend. All right, sweetheart. Goodbye, Tabika. Take care, darling.
Bye. God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.